All of his stuff looked good, some probably too good because it was probably snug, but he was different in everything that he did. He locked up different. He locked up snug.
Hey, this is your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, and you're listening to Snug Wrestling. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Snug Wrestling Podcast. It feels like forever. Actually, didn't record on Friday Night SmackDown. I was not in the country, so we missed out on a SmackDown review and all that good stuff. But we're back now. The WWE is still doing the European tour. WWE Raw started at an earlier time. I don't know how long this is going to keep up, but I hope for our sake, not the European fans, that this European tour is over soon. Because it's kind of messing up my weekly schedule. But on this episode of Monday Night Raw, I should say Monday Midday Raw, they were in Scotland, Glasgow. And this was a night where we were going to see Lyra versus Raquel Rodriguez, Dragon Lee versus Chad Gable, Penta versus Bron Breakker, and so much more. And to help me go over what we saw today, I have my crew with me. I have Mr. Blood, Toxic, BT Knight, and Tommy will probably join us later on as we go through the show. What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, so John Cena started off the show again, and just like last week's Monday Night Raw, John Cena starts the show, cuts one hell of a promo, Cody Rhodes comes out, the savior of every wrestling fan, and just like last week, no physicality. But this week was a little bit different because John Cena, he had a lot of interesting things to say that got me thinking and got my brain kind of going. The most important things that John Cena said was that he was going to ruin wrestling and he's going to win number 17, surpassing Ric Flair, and he's going to retire the belt and take it home with him, forcing the WWE to create a new toy belt. John Cena also mentioned the fact that the spinner belt that he created a long time ago got a lot of heat. A lot of people did not like that belt. I was one of them, and I know that belt pissed a lot of people off when it first came out. So just for like the sake of pissing people off, if John Cena wins number 17, I want to see him bring back that spinner belt just for like one last hurrah, you know, just for shits and giggles. So John Cena, he's tearing the crowd, the audience in half. Basically, we're proving his point. We are the worst of the worst. John Cena, he cut another great promo. But then Cody Rhodes came out for the save, and we get a little confrontation. But what did you guys think about this opening segment? Blood, let's go with you first, and while you're holding that ugly-ass belt.
So the reason I'm holding this incredible belt is because... Yeah, look, this is a great segment. Now, last week I had some massive complaints about the promo segment, and it wasn't so much John Cena's part that I had a problem with. I had a problem with Cody Rhodes' segment, part of the promo last week. A lot of people liked Cody's promo last week. A lot of people did enjoy his fucking 3.5 minutes out of the entire half-hour segment. I thought it was a colossal waste of time. Because in my head, I'm thinking if they're in the States, then I don't see Cody coming out for a response, but because they're on the European tour and they're all just there as it is, he came out. So last, and I made no shortcuts about it. I thought Cody's promo last week was incredibly lackluster. Since the Royal Rumble, Elimination Chamber, we went a 2-week gap, right? without hearing hide nor hair about this shit. Okay, we had Cody come out, cut one very impassioned promo after Elimination Chamber on the Raw. Then on that following Friday, he cut a pretty shit promo that everybody kind of universally agreed was pretty mid. And then we just kind of toiled away waiting to hear from John, right? So John came out last week, gave a great one. Cody came out, no physicality. I mean, and we talked about this. Look, if you did to me what you did to Cody at Elimination Chamber in front of God, the people, and everybody else, when I see you, it's on sight. You feel me? So, like, and that's how I feel like it should be. After what they did to Cody, for Cody to come out just to talk to him, pissed me off. But also, it's because he said a whole lot of nothing. He did, like, one or two quick one-liners, and then the segment was over. At a half hour, John takes, you know, 18 minutes of it. Both their entrances after that's like another fucking 8 minutes, and Cody gets four to cut the promos. Like, what the fuck? So this week, it was a 20-minute segment. John comes out. Great fanfare here, as in the booze. Really selling it, not smiling, not running to the ring, taking his time. Let the audience have it again. Highlighting, and he's like, I told y'all I was done, man. I called out a little defenseless kid last week. And you guys think I'm the bad guy. You guys turned that poor kid into a meme, an internet joke, and I'm the villain. This is exactly what I was talking about. You're horrible people. And he's right. They're hypocrites. He called that kid out to his face. The whole rest of the world decided they were going to turn this kid into a joke online. And now he's going to go down in wrestling internet lore as that kid from the heel turn John Cena promo. And it's never going to change. Just like that little girl who got mad that The Miz won, or that guy with the open eyes and the open mouth when Undertaker lost to Lesnar. That kid is going to live in infamy, as that kid in that promo. And John used that kid as a conduit to keep hammering home his point to the crowd. You don't deserve me. What you deserve is to have your hearts broken. And you brought up that spinner belt. This shit's incredible piece of wrestling history.
The worst belt ever created.
Have you seen Jeff Hardy's TNA belt? Anyway, and literally, he's like, I introduced this belt back in 2005. You guys tried to shred me to atoms. Even though I did it for you, I did it for the kids to give the kids a more marketable title they can play with. I did it so because it's best for business. It's what we needed. We needed a freshened, shaken up title scene, and a new look was, you know, what we needed. And by the way, this nowhere near as bad as the Universal Championship. I'm sorry. And as far as it was concerned, he said, "I'm going to ruin wrestling." Which I thought was a great line, because so many people throughout history of the love of professional wrestling have always touted that in mainstream wrestling, John Cena was one of those guys that they felt, quote unquote, ruined it for them, turned it PG, turned it into a softer style, was too safe, couldn't wrestle. It was all characters. And people who dropped out of wrestling after the Attitude Era and started leaving during the Ruthless Aggression Era, when John Cena started becoming that mainstay, a lot of people attribute the failure of WWE losing its audience to running with him as their forefront of their entire company, their face. So this promo was so great because he's like, look, you guys thought I ruined wrestling before? Oh, hold my beer. I am going to ruin professional wrestling. I'm going to ruin it for all the people at home. I'm going to ruin it for all the people here. I'm going to ruin it for the boys and the girls in the back, for everyone. I am going to go into WrestleMania, walk out the 17-time champion, and I am going to go home and retire as champion. I am taking that title with me, and WWE is going to have to make a new one because they will never get this one back. So he's talking about holding the Undisputed Championship hostage. He doesn't just want to win at Mania to solidify his career. He wants it to hurt. And then Cody coming out, this time in a promo I thought was actually fucking, we got somewhere this week. He does slightly mention what happened in Elimination Chamber, saying, you know, it's not because you hit me with this or yada, yada, yada. But he straight up said, look, I was wrong. I see that what's happened. I see that you're actually serious, that you're genuine, that you are hurt, that this hurts you to do this. You're doing it because you feel you have to. You're hurting. Painting that more conflicted side of John Cena. Because John Cena turned heel, but he didn't want to. He felt like he had no other choice left. And Cody was really good at helping hammer that home by telling him, you are genuine. This isn't just an act. You feel like you had to do this because you felt so hurt, your emotions, the betrayal by the fans, you couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah.
And it was valid.
So,
and I thought it was great. Cody trying to get him to fight him was awesome. But I would like to note before I end, how weird does it feel to see John Cena be the guy who runs away from the fucking fight, to leave the ring?
Cena's right. The wrestling fans of today, they're hypocrites. They're not happy with anything. Mm-hmm. They're not happy with anything. But that doesn't mean he should go and ruin wrestling for everyone. Wrestling's gonna live no matter what. And that's where I think in this story, if John Cena's gonna be the destroyer of professional wrestling, Cody's is gonna be the savior of it. Mm-hmm. He's gonna save it and beat John Cena at Mania.
No, yeah, absolutely. And I think that's working pretty well for Cody Rhodes as being the savior. Back to what you were saying, Mr. Blood, you brought up a few good points. Toxic, you know, he says he believes that Cody Rhodes, he's like becoming the savior of the fans because John Cena, he pretty much turned the attention on the fans and was like, look, you guys continue to prove my point of how bad you guys are. You guys are terrible. You guys are the worst. And the fans in attendance are proving his point by cussing at him, booing him, and all these things. So here comes Cody Rhodes, which is, I mentioned this earlier. I don't know if you heard it, but Cody Rhodes, I don't think he's just getting this reaction because they're in Europe. I think he would be getting the similar reactions even in the United States because of the position that he's in right now as the savior. He's like the big baby face. So I think that's why the people really like Cody Rhodes promos, even though they're really short or even though he's not saying a whole lot of anything. But he's there to defend the fans. And I think that goes a long way in Europe and even in the United States. But the last thing I want to... Actually, I have one more thing to say, but I want to hear what Tommy has to say about the promo and also BT Knight. So let's go with you, Tommy.
So, overall, he's right. He truly is. The moment he brought out that spinner belt, the kids loved it, the rest of us hated it. Because it truly is one of, I'm not saying it is the, but it is one of the ugliest WWE titles. Mm-hmm. It just truly is. It is one of the ugliest world titles that we've gotten. Because, as he said, one of the biggest criticisms of it is the fact that it was a toy. And the WWE title is not supposed to be a toy. That was the biggest thing. And he's right when it comes to, well, for some of us, that we're awful. because of the fact that, again, he's right. We took this kid's face and we turned him into a massive meme. That is just what the internet does. And with that, even WWE themselves turned him into a meme. They posted on their TikTok and all of that a video of just 30 seconds prior of this kid screaming, "I love you, Cena," with the words, "Little does he know in 30 seconds he will be broken up with." WWE themselves even made this kid into a meme. So everything that Cena is saying is true. Although it may come out harshly, but he's right. And that's what some fans don't understand, is the fact that we truly do not deserve him.
Yeah, it's hard for me to come up with a lot to say on this because everybody else is on fucking point. But I'll say it like this. What John Cena is doing, this is kind of like being, like he said, it is a toxic relationship. Because this man has done everything for 25 years just to be respected himself. Even when he had the words hustle, loyalty, and respect, the code in which he lives by, he has never been respected by anybody. And that is the most saddest part of this whole fucking thing. So this is basically revenge. And I really hope he can do it. I really hope he wins at WrestleMania and he gets his revenge, because many people can view this as a bad thing, like the bad guy, but it is fully justified and every single one of them deserve it. So
ever since John Cena turned heel at Elimination Chamber, I've been seeing like all these clips coming up from the reality show that they did, the Divas show or whatever, where they made John Cena look like a straight up dickhead, like he was just a bad guy. And after seeing John Cena cut his promo today, I'm like, this is, John Cena is not being a heel. He's just being himself. Like, this is how he is in real life. Like, he's just, like, really serious. And the way that he was cutting the promo today was, it just felt different, you know? It felt more real as compared to, like, when he was a babyface. It was all, like, hoorah, hoorah, let's go, we can do it, and everything is all good and shit, you know? But when John Cena said, "I'm going to ruin wrestling," I thought that was amazing, because you're right, BT. He's gotten a lot of hate throughout his career. I'm pretty sure he's even gotten "you can't wrestle" chants at one point in his career. And he's like, "All right, you want to hate on my belt? You want to hate on me? You want to hate on, you know, then I'm really going to ruin wrestling. I'm going to take that belt and I'm going to take it home with me." So many things can happen here, you guys. Like I said before, what if we get another spinner belt? Or what if this is a way to kind of like unite the belts, and instead of having two world champions, two main champions, Cena wins it, he retires it, he takes it home, which, by the way, I think is deserving, and then we're just left with one main champion. I wouldn't even be against that. I think that would be actually pretty good. But what do you guys think about that, Mr. Blood? Let's go with you first.
I mean, I don't see it as a bad idea for a future storyline where, you know, who's the real champ? Because they basically be running that back from Cena versus Punk way back in 2011 and all that. But I don't know if I want to see that, because we've seen that story with Cena involved in it before. Who's the real champion? Yeah, two different titles. Yeah, and they had two different championship
but
belts.
But this time, Cena would retire it, and he would just take it home, so we would be left.
Yeah, behind. but then he's still got to come back because he has more dates throughout the year. So odds are he's got to bring the title back at some point. But my thing is like, you know, if they retire the WWE Undisputed Championship, I would be fine with that because I feel like that title is a remnant of the Vince era. Even though it had a slight redesign, I think, right after Vince was, you know, kicked out the second time. But in my opinion, minus the fucking WWE logo on the World Heavyweight title, the World Heavyweight title is a beautiful belt. So in my head, if we're going to retire the WWE Undisputed Champion, the only reason we have that championship is because they had to fuse both of Roman's belts just so he could carry one to lighten the load on Paul Heyman's shoulders. So if they retire it, fine. But if they retire it, I want a more throwback design. Maybe a new reimagined winged eagle belt gets put in its place. I'd be okay with that.
I feel like it would just be a whole another Kevin Owens thing. Like, you know, when he took the winged eagle and refused to give it back. If John Cena won, he would take the Undisputed WWE Championship, go home, never get it back, and then we have to run Cody and Cena back, probably, just so we can get the title back. That's the only thing I would see happening if Cena won the title.
Yeah, I just had an idea. What if John wins the title, and instead of taking it home, he hands it over to The Rock? Because The Rock said, I want that. He said, I want your soul, but he said, I want it all. Want you, I want the soul, I want your championship. What if John wins it, and on the grandest stage of them all, the main event, the closing main event of night two, he hands that championship to The Rock. The Rock holds it up with John Cena raising his hand.
And then he gives it to Travis Scott. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm glad you bring this up, Mr. Blood, because that was another thing that I was wondering. We haven't heard from The Rock. The Rock was the one
that started this.
Wait, hold on. And that was one of the questions I wanted to ask you guys. Like, how is The Rock going to get involved in all this? We still got time. It's The Rock. I'm pretty sure he's going to find a way to involve himself some way or somehow in the main event of WrestleMania. Is that what he wants? Does he want John Cena to give him the belt if he wins it? But what if he does win it, Mr. Blood? I'll bite. I'm with you. What if John Cena wins it? He hands it to The Rock. Why does The Rock want it? Why? Like, what is he going to do?
The Rock, I mean, think about it. Maybe he could defend it because guess what? If The Rock has it, I'm the final boss. I am the boss of bosses, the champion of the champions. So think of the possibilities. You get a run back of CM Punk versus The Rock for that title. You get the match of Reigns versus The Rock that we didn't get for that title. There's stories that can be told here. You get Cody versus Rock, something that was already hinted at a year ago. Don't you ever break my heart again. The possibilities here are endless. If John Cena winds up going, I want it. I never said I needed to hold it. I just wanted to win it. I broke the record. Here you go. And The Rock goes out at Mania with his hand held high with that title. John Cena's raising his arm. Travis Scott's in the corner, rubbing out his sage. Cody's beaten, broken, bloodied on the ground. Louisiana goes out Las Vegas goes out with a fucking whimper. And then the next story to be told is, hey, now, if I'm the final boss, who's going to be the hero?
Tommy,
you want this? You've got to jump through my hoops.
Tommy, what do you think is going to happen if John Cena wins 17 with the title?
There's one thing that I would love to happen. Although, with Cena's whole, oh, y'all don't get what y'all want, I don't think this is going to happen. But this would be interesting because I have a feeling that there is a reason why he brought up that spinner. I think there is a reason to that. And that reason is, I think he wins it at WrestleMania. If he does hand it to The Rock, then he hands it to The Rock. Hopefully not, but if he does, he does. But the reason why I think he brought up the spinner is because if he wins it, he's bringing it back.
That was one of the first things I thought too. BT, what do you think John Cena is going to do with the belt if he wins it, number 17?
I don't think there's going to be a lot of changes to the belt, but what I would love to see happen is basically give karma to the John Cena Glazers. Have John Cena squash everybody continuously, week after week after week. And watch how quickly those motherfuckers are going to change their tune, because they're always around talking about John Cena was amazing when he kept on winning and burying talent. Like, motherfuck. Like, they're hypocrites, right? But the second thing I want to see happen is when all hope is lost, R-Truth saves the day. Come on, come on. R-Truth needs to beat his childhood hero to save the day. He needs to at this point. It makes perfect fucking sense.
What's Jesus up?
Christ. Long-term storytelling.
All right, you guys. All right, let's
talk about getting heat.
Let's move on.
What's up?
Because up next we had a tag team match. Jey Uso's mystery partner was revealed, and everyone thought it was going to be Joe Hendry. I believe in Joe Hendry. No, it was not. It was Jimmy Uso. Like, we pretty much, all us sane folks, pretty much expected this. And all you crazies out there that were thinking Joe Hendry, I don't know where you guys even got that from. But this was Jey Uso and Jimmy Uso. And they're back together for the very first time. They tag team together in 1.5 years. The last time, this is according to Michael Cole. Michael Cole explained this when the match started, that last time they teamed together was when the Usos faced Roman and Solo, where Jey pinned Roman Reigns. And so it was good to see the Usos back together. It was also good to see this match because it wasn't a squash match. Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, the A-Town Down, they were competitive tonight, you know, not compared like last time where Austin Theory got beat in less than 30 seconds. Unfortunately for, you know, us Austin Theory fans, Austin Theory still took the pin. He took the 1D from the Usos, which is another version of the Dudley Boys 3D. And the Usos won the match, but there was an afterbirth in this match. Gunther rolled up, pulled up to the ring, and attacked the Usos from behind. And they're trying to tell a new story. There was a new incident that happened during this afterbirth, during this match. Jey Uso was going to hit Gunther with the spear, and he slipped. Now, there's the haters out there that were saying that was a botch and that was unintentional, but Jey Uso made it look really good. This was part of the story that they were telling in the ring. Jey Uso sold it like $1 million, but now they're trying to say Jey Uso is literally, he's been slipping the past couple weeks. And if he keeps on slipping, Gunther might actually defeat him at WrestleMania. Jey Uso is not going to be able to beat Gunther at WrestleMania. So they're giving us a little bit more, it seems like, on this feud. Because that's one of the things that we've had a lot of criticism about when it comes to Jey Uso and Gunther's feud. We might even get into a whole nother episode about it if you guys are still down for that. But that's what happened on this episode of Raw when it comes to Gunther and Jey Uso. Toxic is not here, so I'm gonna go with you first, Tommy. What did you think about? Oh, wait, he is here.
About to say one, he is here. He's currently eating.
Okay, well, he wasn't here a second ago. So then,
there he is.
I'm gonna start with Toxic first, and then we'll go on to the next person. Because Toxic, you said you had a lot to say about this. So
amazing match, really. Love seeing the Usos in the ring together. But that's not where I want to focus my point. This motherfucker, Gunther, proves my point from two SmackDowns ago. Proves my point once again. He can't do anything to prove that he's going to actually beat Jay at WrestleMania except attack. He's like a tiger. A German one, if you want to be comedic like that. He can't do anything. He wants to prove that he can beat Jay. He needs to beat Jimmy next week because they have a match next week after Jimmy bitch slapped Gunther, which he deserved. Gunther deserved that slap. So, yeah, Gunther just proves my point once again. Four letters, one word.
For one, we thought just because we were in good old Glasgow that we would be yeeting. But sadly, we were not yeeting.
I don't get it.
We were believing and yeeting.
Oh, God.
We were yeeting.
No, that's not a thing, Tommy. Stop. That's not a thing.
But it felt good to finally see these two in the ring. Although, this is what I'm going to say on this. Once again, Gunther has proven that he can't do anything except tag Jay from behind. Once again, that's all he does for weeks on end. Ever since Jay won the Rumble and declared for Gunther that he can't do anything except attack him from behind.
All right. To the Jay Uso haters, what is it you hate about Jay so badly? Is it because you're still butthurt over the fact that Jimmy is fucking injury prone? Is that the reason why? Because he got fucking hurt in 2020 and they had to fucking... they had to adjust the story of the Bloodline to make it make sense. So they put the right-hand man as Jey Uso. It's not Jay's fault that Jimmy is fucking injury prone. Because not only that, he wasn't just injured in 2020. He was injured after the fucking Money in the Bank match in 2023. Like, between Roman and Solo and Jimmy and Jay. He was injured after that as well. And then, the most discombobulated heel turn of all time. It will never make sense to me. Why the fuck did he have to turn heel? Jay should have fucking won the title then. He should have. But because of the Cody and Roman story... But, yeah, that's what I really want to focus on. What is it specifically that you hate about Jay? And if you're just going to make fun of him every time he trips or every time he botches, but yet you'll let Jimmy get away with calling the U.S. title the U.S. tag titles.
That's probably selective. Why they did that. That's probably why they did that slip-up spot today, because of the other... the criticism Jey Uso got last week when he tried to jump over the ropes. But sorry, right. Go ahead, BT.
Selective outrage. I have been complaining about it on my TikTok page, BT Knight. Check it out on TikTok. Continuously. Motherfuckers are comparing Jey Uso to Santino Marella. Motherfuckers are comparing this motherfucker to fucking R-Truth simply because he thinks he's a comedy gimmick because he says yeet.
I saw people compare Jey Uso to Stone Cold Steve Austin recently. as far as like Austin wasn't the best in the ring, but he was super over and had a catchphrase that was super over.
Yeah, but here's the difference. Steve Austin was booked as a badass. Steve Austin was booked as one of those motherfuckers where if he got hit and was bleeding, he would still fucking pack a punch. He would not back down. That's a big difference. Jey Uso would never do that.
Yeah.
He would at least suffer for a bit before he would start fighting back.
Yeah.
That's sort of the comparison you would put to Cody Rhodes, because Cody Rhodes gets busted up continuously and yet he still throws punches. That's the shit you would compare Steve Austin to Cody Rhodes for.
I mean, I think Jey Uso gets a lot of hate because he's not for everyone. Like, he's like more for like the younger crowd. Like, he's like cool, you know. He has the cool tattoos and, you know, he has the yeet, and a lot of people don't get it. And like, if you're in your mid-40s watching wrestling today, you're probably like comparing him to like Jacob Fatu, for example. Like, oh, this guy, he's just like, there's a lot of things in wrestling that aren't for me either, you know? So I think that's why a lot of people get, Jey Uso gets a lot of hate on that. But let's go with you, Blood. What did you think about this match and what we saw afterwards with Gunther?
I thought it was a really good match, honestly. As far as Austin Theory is concerned, so reports came out that last week, because John Cena's segment went way over time, they had to cut a couple things. They said that's a potential contributing factor as to why Jay wound up squashing Austin. Apparently their match was supposed to go like 10 minutes.
Can I ask a question? How stupid is that if they're on Netflix?
Exactly, because remember when originally when they were talking about the deal, they said that, well, we don't have a time cap. The sweet spot is 2.5 hours, but we can always go longer if we need to or if we choose to, because there's nothing live coming on before or after them. So that slot is for them, but they decided to stick with the 2.5 hour format. That's fine. But homie, like an extra half hour on some shows, if you feel like you got to use it, use it. Don't tell us that, oh, you know, it was the same thing. We had a bunch of segments in January getting randomly cut off at the end of the shows that we wouldn't even get to see the ends of. Because remember, I would get super angry about it. It's like, dude, then keep utilizing the time space. But that being said, this was a really good match. Of course, I don't know why Austin Theory had to eat the pin 2 weeks in a row when Grayson Waller is right there. I don't know if they're still doing the breakup story with these two, but it keeps feeling like they are because they keep teasing it. But it's like, dude, why don't you let Grayson eat some shit too? Stop just putting
it on Austin. It's always Theory, dude. It's always Theory.
Because here's the thing. Between the two of them, Austin is the much better wrestler. Grayson is the better talker and has the more charisma, better personality. Together, they are each other's strengths where the other one is weaker in those areas. That's why they work so well together. But at the same time, you got to do something, because Grayson Waller's like 36, 37 years old, and Austin Theory is like 28. So at some point, I want Austin Theory's singles career to get back on track here. And you can turn Grayson into a mega mid-card heel. That's fine.
You know what's Blood, when you say that? You know what's my concern? Like, I'm afraid that they're going to beat Austin Theory down to the point where they're not
going to be able to...
Yeah.
Where there's no credibility. I completely understand. That's why I wonder if they're trying to build up all the sympathy from the crowd, giving him slight baby face reactions on purpose by letting him do the whole funny yeet thing where he's a fan of Jey Uso. And so eventually when Grayson snaps on him, it'll turn him into a baby face by proxy. Because people hate Grayson. But when it comes down to it, when it comes to the match is awesome. I don't know why Michael Cole said this is the first time these two have tagged in a year and a half. That's bullshit. They were just on a team together at Survivor Series.
Not in a tag team match, though.
War games. That's teams.
But like a tag team match. That was not a tag. That was
Okay. So you do realize that tag teams aren't just 2-on-2. They're 3-on-3. They're 6-on-6. They're It's a you're tagging in and out as a team.
The definition of a tag team is two versus two.
No, the definition of a tag team is where you're not in the ring and doing a tornado tag.
It's tag
team. Tag team means you're a tag. You're tagging in and out on a team. Tag team.
You don't tag anyone in war games. It's everyone.
Well, buddy, if that's the case, then why on earth do they have trios titles in AEW for tag teams?
Well, they call them the trios titles, but they're not called tag team titles.
They call them trios. They're called the trios tag titles.
But not tag team titles because they're trios. It's a six man. It's three versus three. It's six man tag. Not tag team. Tag team is specific to two versus two.
No, it's not, because the Shield were in tag team matches and they tagged in and out. Six-man tag.
Yeah, six-man tag is not the same as tag team.
It's still a tag. It's still a team match.
That's
still a team match.
That's why.
All right, listen.
Since they've been in a tag team match together, it's been over.
Listen.
I'm listening.
I digress. With you over here with your upper lip and shit. Look, so's your upper lip. Look, but as far as it's concerned, when it comes to the spot where he slipped, I don't think it was a botch. I think it was purposeful. I think that they're actually feeding into the story of Jay is losing his grip. He's slipping, making mistakes because he's doubting himself. And I think that's the story they're trying to tell, is that the story originally is that Gunther doesn't believe that he can beat Jay without underhanded tactics, right? That's why he keeps going against all these people who are fodder to him, but still struggling. He's losing his edge. Now they're trying to tell the story of, well, it's not just Gunther who's slipping and having confidence issues and losing his edge. It's Jay as well. So it's an interesting dynamic where you have the babyface who is slipping and making mistakes because he's got a confidence issue and he's got self-doubt. And it's a really cool thing that your world champion, who's usually this monster fucking just destroyer final boss-esque character, who is always confident, always on the mark, never makes a mistake, is now here, off the mark, self-doubting, making mistakes. And I think that's cool that we're getting that same story told from two different perspectives and two different ways. Another reason I don't think it was an actual botch is because Gunther was immediately ready just to put him to the ground in a guillotine and start punching him in the stomach. There was not a moment there where he blanked for a second on like, oh shit, well, what am I supposed to do now? Like even Jay got into position to get into that headlock. So, and then when you have the segment backstage where when he gets the taste smacked out of his mouth, I mean, Jimmy smacked that boy so hard, bro's cavities flew out. But I mean, that was a stiff slap. But when it came down to it, I like that they're versing next week because this also tells a story. Remember, everybody said that Jimmy and Jay, they're equals in the ring. But on the mic, Jimmy is better, right? But they are equals because they were an even 50-50 tag team the majority of their career. So one, and they have the exact same moveset, splash, super kicks, and they both do the spear. So the one would think that if Jimmy is essentially going to be the test for Gunther, if Gunther beats Jimmy next week, that's probably going to reboost Gunther's confidence. Like, I beat your brother and you guys are just as good as each other, so if I can beat your brother, I definitely can beat you. Oh wait, I have three times. But if he struggles against Jimmy, and maybe Jimmy almost wins, right? Let's say, what if Jimmy almost wins next week? What if he does win? What does that do to Gunther's confidence? And what does that do to Jay's confidence? Because Gunther's will go even further out here and Jay's is going to start trending upward. Well, if my brother can beat you, I know I can. You know, so I'm excited for it. And I hope that's the main event next week so it gets some really good time.
So what I was going to say with this is the fact that I am truly excited for this match. Because it's going to be big. And most likely, it will be a main event. Because if it's not, they're clearly doing something wrong. But I do digress with that. if Jimmy beats Gunther, it's very clear that Jay's odds way higher. Because Blood's right. These two have the exact same move sets, the exact same style, almost the exact same everything because of the fact that they're twins in general. So if Gunther loses to Jimmy, his mindset goes super low.
I don't see Gunther losing any matches before WrestleMania, even versus Jimmy. But we'll see what happens. That backstage segment with Jimmy and Jay, where Jimmy was trying to pep talk Jay Uso, and then you see, you know, Gunther literally right around the corner. And this was right after Gunther just attacked both of them. Gunther standing right around right around the corner. Jimmy Uso just walks up, maybe like five, he takes like five steps, and he confronts Gunther. Like, I don't know, I just thought that was kind of ridiculous. Like, hey, Jay, hey, bro, he's right here. He's like right in front of us. Let's go get him. No, he just walked up.
It was a little awkward.
Yeah.
Because it was a little awkward because you would think, well, at the angle that that hallway was on the side of the staircases, Gunther would have had to have literally, because Jimmy enters the hallway around the corner of the stairs. Mm-hmm. If Gunther was going that way, he would have had to have seen the two just sitting there when he was entering the hallway, and they would have had to have seen him, like, plain as day. So he's like, hold on, bro. And it's like, well, Jimmy saw him, but Jay didn't. And he just walked right around the corner. Hey, yo!
And I thought we were going to
see. You don't hear that?
I thought we were going to see a brawl or something. And then Gunther's just standing there. Like, he just attacked these guys. He's just standing there, like, not even, like, raising his hands up or anything. Like, oh, shit, I'm about to get in a fight again. And he just fucking eats that slap. And Jimmy just walks away like nothing happened.
Smack a baby teeth out.
I'm just like, what the fuck is going on here? But anyway, other than that, the slap was really good. I want to talk about the debut that we saw tonight. WWE has officially debuted a brand new luchador, El Grande Americano. Definitely not Chad Gable. This guy, he had the video package. This guy, he comes from a long lineage of wrestling. This guy has been wrestling for years. He is a Mexican legend. I would know that because I'm Mexican myself. I grew up watching this guy in the luchador scene in Mexico. And ever since I was little, I always knew he's going to make it to the WWE. And he finally did. And us Mexicans are so proud of him. And he came out and he faced Dragon Lee in his debut match. Looking way more better shape than Chad Gable, way more tanner than Chad Gable, and just what a great Mexican luchador this guy is, El Grande Americano. Mr. Blood, I see you had your hand up, but I'm gonna go with Tommy first this time, and then we'll go from there. What did you think about the video package, the debut? And
you went first with him last time.
No, I went with Toxic first. And then, the match and everything that we saw here with this, Tommy. Go ahead.
Who wants to tell him? Who wants to tell him? Because that's Chad Gable.
I don't know.
It's Gable. For
sure. I haven't seen him since I was a kid, so I'm telling
you guys.
It
just seems a little bit suspicious here that all of a sudden Chad Gable gets sick and facing Dragon Lee is no longer Chad Gable, but instead is this random luchador. No. Just, no. That is Chad Gable. It is very clear that it is Chad Gable. There's no way it's not.
I don't know, man. He's really big in that Mexican underground luchador scene, just saying.
That entire thing was fake.
You wouldn't know. You're not Mexican, Tommy.
He brought up what I was thinking during all of that. Why in the world is he looking so young, but yet every single one of those pictures were in black and white?
We age like fine wine, I guess. I don't know.
All of them were in black and white. Everything in that video package was
in
black.
There's no color TV in Mexico. We can't afford color TV in Mexico, Tommy. But you wouldn't know that, would you? You wouldn't know that. Because you're so uncultured.
They were all pictures.
Cameras, too. They're all black and white. All of them. All right. BT, help me out here, BT.
One, I didn't watch the Ultimo MAGA match, okay? That is a way better name than the fucking shit that they gave him, okay? Two, I hate to break it to you, Snub, but you're falling into the Mr. America gimmick all over again. You're basically the fucking dumbass that actually believes that Hulk Hogan and Mr. America are two separate people. Chad Gable and fucking Ultimo MAGA are the exact same cunts. I swear to God, the same skin tone. The same fucking... Oh my God, they have the same tone of voice. They just speak in different languages.
They had a lie detector test for Mr. America that proves it was not Hulk Hogan.
Bruh. Everybody knew
lie detector tests are inadmissible in court because they can be tricked.
Not wrestler's court.
Bruh. Do you know how many people take lie detector tests and lie? They still continue to lie? It's just that the machine doesn't even bother to pick it up at the moment? Or it was just the fact that it was programmed by some fucking dickhead to go, yes, he's actually telling the truth. Like, brother.
He had a sick note. It couldn't have been Chad Gable. He can't wrestle.
He can't wrestle. Bruh, this is the same cunt that was supposed to win the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania 40. This is who was supposed to win the IC title at WrestleMania 40. This is who Sami Zayn stole that moment from. What the fuck has happened to him? This comedy gimmick bullshit is burying him. And I'm so sorry for him, bro. He deserves so much better. That's my crash here.
Okay, Snug, just, you're full of fucking shit. If you watched him growing up, when he first appeared, you would have been like, oh, that's it, that's whatever the fuck his name is. Mm-hmm. Holy shit, he's here. Did you do that? Hell no. That is 100% Chad Gable doing this Scooby-Doo-ass shit, and they're gonna finally beat him, and like, all right, it's time to see who's under the mask. Chad Gable! Gable, 100%.
He was my idol when I was growing up in Mexico as a little kid.
You're full of fucking shit.
I met him, and I took a picture with him when I was a kid, so how you guys
proof,
gonna tell
proof,
me?
Proof, show the picture.
I will, I'll post it.
Okay, do it.
Alright. Mr. Blood,
we're gonna go Photoshop it.
All right, so aside from the fact that I know you're being a facetious little asshole right now, there, Edgar, because I googled when I watched that segment on YouTube, I googled that name just to make sure it wasn't an actual other wrestler, a real lucha libre in history that they were just borrowing the gimmick from. Yeah, didn't exist until yesterday. But also, as far as it's concerned, here's the funny thing about that entire promo package for him, or that video package. It was not all black and white, Tommy. There was gold and color and everything. Here's the problem. The body type of that guy was different in every single picture from shoulder span to bone structure. And I noticed when I paused it and several areas looked closer, it was AI generated. So...
Well,
it was AI generated.
On you so, guys, what you guys don't know, and this is a true story, is that this guy was so big in Mexico, like back in the day, that Starbucks named their drink after him.
Now, look, this is an interesting gimmick, but I am fully with BT on this one. I was really hoping after the really great momentum that Chad had going into that heel turn last year that they were going to turn him into at least an upper mid card, you know, major heel or a main event heel act. And I gotta be honest, I love watching Chad and whatever he does, but I think sticking the Creed brothers with him and Ivy Nile has severely damaged any hope that that's ever going to happen. They're ever going to let him be this serious championship contender level wrestler. Because here's the difference between him and Kurt Angle. The reason they pushed Kurt Angle was because back then, having an Olympic gold medalist on their roster was a massive, hot commodity, never been done before in their industry. And he was just an absolute get. He was the first of his kind. The problem is, we've had several like that since then that were Olympic medalists, like Ronda Rousey and Chad Gable, and you've had, Gable Steveson, or like all these people who have been these big, you know, Olympic athletes who've come in and or competed in the Olympics, and they were touted as the firsts of whatever they were. And the problem is, because it worked so well the first time, like a Kurt Angle, which, I mean, talk about a home run off the first rip. It's so hard to replicate and duplicate that same feeling in the audience where, yes, they have bestowed those chants on a Chad. But the problem is that even though they're booking him in a semi-similar fashion, they booked Kurt Angle where he does do comedy. But when he's in the ring, he's the fucking wrestling machine. The problem is they're not letting Chad win even 20% of his matches, let alone his feuds. And if they're going to give him this gimmick, whatever comes out of this gimmick, he needs to win this feud. Whatever it is, he needs some wins under his belt. And I'm annoyed that they're doing it under the guise of him being this masked wrestler, because I'm like, I want him to have wins, but I want him to have wins as Chad fucking Gable. I want that in the history books for him. So his character is pushed, not the pseudo side alternate gimmick that you're giving him that's going to take the credit. I'm like, I want to see his face when the 1-2-3 hits. I want to see him get some title shots. I want to see the Creed Brothers and Ivy Nile be pulled away from him. Just make that them a two-man and a one-girl group and let Chad go off and have a singles career like he should have after Sami Zayn, in my opinion. And I don't think I'm alone on that.